You are my strength. That's so important. I was just, so much is said in that chorus, but I was just focusing myself on that thought, you're my strength. I need him to be my strength because I'm weak. Amen. We need him to be our strength because we can do nothing without him. I hope that you are finding that true in your own experience, your own heart and life. I want to say before I get started, we found a key in the parking lot. This is a Ford vehicle. It'll be up here if your Ford won't start. Somebody got in and drove away and it dropped. But if you know whose that might be, it was on this side of the building. It'll be up here. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'm going to go back to Joshua chapter 4 where we read this morning. We'll get a couple of scriptures here and also in Joshua 5. If you are able to stand as we look into God's Word together, Joshua 4, I want to read verses 19 and 20. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. In chapter 5, down in verse 8, and I'll kind of describe the setting here, but just getting a few verses, verse 8. It came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is so precious. We thank you for the instruction that we receive from it every time that we open our hearts and our minds to receive it. Every time we look to you in faith and ask you to teach us from your word, Lord, you're so faithful. And Lord, truly these are words of life. And I pray that you would help us, that our understanding would be opened, that, Lord, we would learn what you have for us tonight, and, Lord, more than just in our mind, you would take it to our hearts, that we might be that people that you want us to be and please you, and, Lord, that we could find out more and more what it is to walk in covenant relationship with you. I pray for your anointing and for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We preached this morning from Joshua 4 about those memorial stones that the 12 men had picked up in the river and brought to Gilgal and made a memorial, and because God wanted them to remember. And as I was preparing for the morning message, and so much, as I said this morning, in these chapters, so many things that have great significance to us spiritually, so much symbolism. I would never begin to cover it all in just these two brief messages. But I'd like to talk to you tonight about the subject, back to Gilgal. Back to Gilgal. In our text that we've read here, we find the mention of this place called Gilgal. We will see that there are several things in this passage of Scripture, these chapters, that represent truths that are very important for us as New Testament Christians. And the reason that I'm using this particular phrase tonight, not just Gilgal, but back to Gilgal, is because many times in the Old Testament where you find the word Gilgal mentioned, you will find that it is spiritual leaders, prophets, men and women of God who are calling the people to come back to, bringing the people back to Gilgal, returning to that place. This word Gilgal is mentioned 39 times in the Bible, all in the Old Testament. All but one of those times, it is preceded by what we call in our English grammar an article, the word the, T-H-E. 38 of the times that it is mentioned, it is referred to as the Gilgal. Now, there's a significance to that. Biblical historians and archaeologists have discovered what they believe are five places that could have been designated Gilgals. The Gilgal here, another Gilgal over here. It is a word used somewhat like, matter of fact, very similar to our word like a campsite. We have the campsite here, but next week we'll have the campsite over there. We go on a journey, and if you're a type of person who likes living in camps, you will have several campsites. You go on a walk, and you get done, and you say, let's return to the campsite. So I want you to understand the context in which this word is used. The Gilgal, it's not referring so much to a specific geographical place like Jerusalem or Bethlehem, somewhere like that. It's referring to a place where certain things took place and certain conditions were met. We call a campsite that particular word, not because of where it is, but because of what goes on there. That's the type of reference that we find in all but one of the places in the Old Testament. In verse 9, it says, verse 9 of chapter 5, God said, you're to call this place Gilgal because it is here that your reproach is rolled away. But I want you to see, and I hope that you will tonight, I hope that it'll bless you, I hope that it'll stir your heart, realize that as we talk about these things, that there's times in the life of every believer that God calls us back to Gilgal. And you'll see, I hope, a little more clearly what we mean by that statement. There are many things that work together to bring about this time when the reproach of Egypt was rolled away, as we read there in chapter 5 and verse 9. To understand it, we kind of need to step back. You know, sometimes when you're, matter of fact, you're looking at life, but oftentimes when you're studying Scripture, we can, you know, there's times you can dig into phrases and words and single verses, but there's other times you have to step back and you've got to look at things from a broader perspective to understand what's going on and especially what God is trying to say to us. And so as we look at this in a broader perspective, we realize that there were things that had brought the Israelites to this place, this particular Gilgal, things that had not only taken place, but things that were taking place and things that were going to take place. All of these are a part of this first reference to the Gilgal that we find in God's Word. Most of you recall that 40 years earlier, God had brought the people of Israel out of Egyptian captivity, the Bible says, by a strong hand. We read it this morning, and chapter 4 ends with an explanation of those memorial stones so that all the earth might see the mighty hand of God. We remember that story. We remember the great miracles that were associated with their deliverance. The 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, and then the closing of the Red Sea, destroying Pharaoh's army, the miraculous provision in the wilderness. But you know, I don't believe that we've thought enough about those 40 years. We find a lot about the early weeks and months. But I wonder how often we have stopped to think about their 40-year wandering in the wilderness. The reproach of being short, coming short for 40 years lay upon them. The suffering that they endured for 40 years. Being, do you know how the enemy, the heathen nations looked upon them? They're just a bunch of escaped slaves with nowhere to go. The reproach of foreign nations. The reproach of being strangers in a foreign land with no permanent dwelling place, no home of their own. The reproach of the mockery and the taunts that came their way from Egypt. Those things that would come back to them because word circulated in their culture just like they do in ours. The Egyptian saying to them, in that 40 years, yeah, your God brought you out, but now he's left you out here to die. The reproach of their own forgetfulness. And then as those 40 years unfolded, more and more male children were born and were being raised in the wilderness, and they were raised uncircumcised. They bore the reproach of being out of covenant relationship with God. To them, circumcision, you remember, was a sign of their covenant relationship with God. And I believe, above all, there was the reproach of their sin. I say that because the Bible says sin is a reproach to any people. Amen. The shame and disgrace of their unbelief and disobedience against God, it weighed upon them for 40 long years. Have you ever just paused to think about that 40 years? There was a great reproach upon the people of Israel. And so when the time came that we described this morning, when God told Joshua it's time to go across Jordan and that miraculous event happened, God stopped the waters and the priest went in and they stood and all the people crossed and the stones were gathered up. It was a great day, but it was a people who came into Canaan under reproach. Amen. It wasn't until they got to Gilgal that the reproach was rolled away. They were under reproach. And so we begin to see as we step back and think about Gilgal, that what Gilgal represents, what it represented to them, what it represented throughout the Old Testament, and what it represents to us. Gilgal represents a place of new beginning. Amen. Aren't you glad that God gives us a fresh start? Hallelujah. It's a place where the reproach of sin and failure can be rolled away. A place where we become reestablished upon first things, upon foundational truths. It's a place of remembrance, yes, as we preached this morning. A place where memorial stones are set up to remind us not only of who God is and what he's done, but where we've been and where he's brought us to. But I believe that Gilgal means above all to us a place of renewal and restoration. Gilgal is a place of renewal and restoration. It is here that the Israelites take very definite steps to renew their covenant relationship with God, to renew their consecration, to renew their obedience unto the word and the law of God, and to renew their faith in God. I never thought about this particular part of this event, and it really impacted me. Have you ever thought about what great faith it took for that people to go through what the first few verses in chapter 5 describe, when Joshua, they've just come into the land of Canaan, just crossed the Jordan River, Jericho's closed up looking on, other nations, you know, cities, walled cities, they know what's going on. And here Joshua, the leader of Israel, says, it's time to get the sharp knives out, guys. It's time to renew our covenant relationship with God. It's time to obey God. It's time to consecrate ourselves. It's time to be circumcised. When I thought about, I could imagine that those men, Brother Hugh, their jaws just sort of dropped. And I began to think about what kind of faith this required, what level of trust in God those men had to have, how they had to trust Joshua as the man of God, calling them to this very definite act of obedience and consecration at this place, at this time. You're walking into the land of the enemy. All around you are nations that want to see you dead. They would do anything to destroy the Israelites. And now when they're finally there, they're exposed, they're vulnerable. Joshua said, it's time to give up our strength and become weak. It's time to give up our defense and let the Lord be our defense. It's time to make ourselves vulnerable. It's time to quit trusting in the arm of flesh and trust in the mighty hand of God. I'd never thought about this, and I just marveled when I thought about how Joshua, I mean, he had to hear this from the Lord, because this is nothing that Joshua was going to make up on his own. And those men had to believe Joshua was a man of God and that this was a call from God for them to be able to follow in obedience. Their leader telling them, it's time to mortify the flesh. It's time to crucify the old man, we would say. See, we've done jumped into New Testament terms. You see where the symbolism is going. It's time to become nothing. Time to be honest about our weakness. It's time to become completely dependent upon the Lord God. Amen. That's what faith is. Amen. See, we don't think of it in that context. We think, well, you know, I'm trusting Jesus for salvation, but, you know, all this other stuff in my life, it's time to become completely dependent on God. It's time to get back to Gilgal. It's time to be vulnerable. Oh, we don't like those words. As a man, I hate the thought of being vulnerable, defenseless, weak, let alone the thought of pain and sacrifice and mortifying the flesh. Your humanity doesn't like it any more than mine. And they're all this processing in their minds, and they're telling Joshua, Joshua, we go through circumcision. We're going to be vulnerable, defenseless. We're going to be completely dependent on God for protection and provision. Joshua, I could just hear him saying, that's exactly where we need to get back to. Back to complete faith and trust in God, because that is the only safe place we'll ever be. Kind of puts a new light on coming into Canaan and Gilgal. Kind of puts a new look at the faith and the trust of this new generation, that they're willing to step out in faith. So here they are at the Gilgal. Place of remembrance, but a place of renewal and restoration. They put off the old man. They crucify the flesh. They step out in a renewed faith and trust in the living God. But that's not all Gilgal is, because Gilgal is a place of restored blessings as well. Hallelujah. A place where that awful reproach is rolled away. All the shame of past sin and failure rolled away. All the disgrace of their days of years of bondage rolled away. I thought, Lord, if there's ever a people needed to sing that song, rolled away, rolled away, it was the Israelites at Gilgal. Rolled away. It's the place that God wants to restore blessings when we come back to Gilgal. But Gilgal was also a place of realization and fulfillment. Over 40 years earlier when God, matter of fact, hundreds of years earlier, because it wasn't just to Moses, it wasn't just to Joseph, or it was all the way to Abraham, God said, remember, this is going to be your land. And all these hundreds of years had elapsed without realization, without the fulfillment. 40 years ago, they had come out thinking this is now, but because of their unbelief and disobedience, they had to stay 40 years in the wilderness. But now finally, they have entered in, and at Gilgal, the promises of God began to be fulfilled. They began to realize what they have looked forward to for all these years. They enter in at last to the land that was to become their homeland. They finally enter in where they can begin to live as free men. They're not slaves in bondage anymore. They enter in, and it's here that the manna, the provision from the wilderness, ceases, and they finally begin to eat of the fruit of the new land. Hallelujah. It's here they become spiritually whole again as the people of God. You see, when it says in verse 28 that, or verse 8, excuse me, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. There's so much deeper meaning than just the bodies healing up. At Gilgal is where they became spiritually whole. It was the place, if you read on to the end of chapter 5, the first place in the land of promise that when the angel, matter of fact, most believe, and I believe it was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ to Joshua, the captain of the Lord's hosts, the first place God called in Canaan, this is holy. You're standing on holy ground. But even more, Gilgal was to become what we would call in modern military terminology, Gilgal was to become their base of operations. It was from Gilgal that the strategies and would be developed and the army sent forth. And Gilgal was a place where every victory that was going to be won would start at Gilgal. I was very intrigued and just more than intrigued, mentally blessed in my heart when I read this. It said that the biblical archaeologists, the guys who, you know, dig in the dirt to find about past cultures, they have discovered, like I said, at least five places that they believe were referred to as Gilgals in the Old Testament culture. And what was interesting is these are man-made geographical sites, mounds of dirt surrounding an encampment with stones and so on. And each of these five places, they said, are shaped like a giant footprint. Now, what that doesn't mean much to us as East Texans in 2019, but the biblical symbolism of that is tremendous. It's as if those men building those encampments throughout Old Testament history were saying, even when they built that very first Gilgal, they were saying, here we place our feet. Here we are, we stand to lay claim to this holy land that God promised our fathers, and we finally are fulfilling the promise of God. Here we stake our claim. Here we stand on the promises of God. Here we stand upon that firm foundation of the eternal God and His Word. Imagine making an encampment like a footprint. There had to be some significance to that. I believe there was. Maybe it was what the songwriter discovered when he wrote that song that we sing, Standing on the Promises of God. I can't tell you that. But I believe that there was great meaning in these Gilgals that we find in the Old Testament. Not only the meaning, the symbolism, but even the shape, dear ones, what it represents to us. Now, there is so much in these two chapters, that these few chapters here, that we would be weeks, and I'm not going to do that unless the Lord just says to. But I want to remind you tonight. I want to remind each of us spiritually that there are going to be times in our life, it may be tonight, that God's going to call to our souls and say, it's time to come back to Gilgal. I don't mean by that that people have to necessarily backslide or give up hope or turn their back on faith. I don't mean that. Maybe that is the case. But I will tell you, there are times in our experiences when we're not where we used to be. There are times when we get our priorities out of place. There are times when we lose our focus, times we get weary in well-doing, times when we become cold and unconcerned about the very things that ought to concern us and burden our hearts. There's times when God's people lose the burden they used to carry. There's times we become overwhelmed by cares of this life. Now what Jesus said? That's what he said in the parable of the sower. You know, those seeds that began to grow, it wasn't the enemy that killed them. It was cares of this life. Choked them. In all of these and many more times, dear ones, the voice of God's Spirit says, it's time to come back to Gilgal. God's got a fresh beginning. It's time to come back to renewed obedience, yes. Renewed consecration, to renew your covenant relationship with God. Come back to a restored faith in God alone. He calls us to Gilgal. Why? Because he wants to roll away our reproach. Oh, that the church today would answer this call. Amen. The church that is under such reproach, the reproach of coldness and deadness and unconcern and misplaced priorities and lost focus and a lack of a vision and prayerlessness and lacking and all these things, it has become a reproach upon this generation of believers. God calls us back because he wants to roll away the reproach of our failure. He wants us to come back to our first love. He calls us back to Gilgal. You see, as much as we all want blessings, God wants to restore his blessings more than we even want them. He wants to bring us back to that place where we can begin to experience those victories once again. The victories that he has for us, that he has won for us. But I remind you tonight, it begins when we get back to Gilgal. I wonder tonight, I know in some ways I thought this seemed more like a Sunday morning message, and much, much more could have been said. But as our ladies come for a song of invitation, I wonder tonight, I ask you, do you need to come back to Gilgal? God knows where you are. And oh, church, how we see. Sometimes I feel like just saying, let's everybody come up. Because we get so caught up in being embarrassed and we get so worried about our dignity and our reputation. Somebody going to think I backslid if I come to the altar. Maybe we all need to come to the altar. And we just need to write Gilgal across these pews and benches here, because we all need to get back to Gilgal in some ways. I wonder if you need to come and seek the Lord and come back to Gilgal. Stand as we look to the Lord. Father, thank you.